Ladies and gentlemen, this is Tav and Alan. Hi. You are listening to Comedy with the Pub. That's Cat P to you and me. The pub is fake. The guests are real. Virtual, but real. First of all, I am joined by our producer, no longer erstwhile, Darcy Finder. How are you, sir?
Hi, Tav.
Hello. That was an elaborate hi.
Well, so was yours.
Okay.
So I'm just aping.
Are you mocking me?
A little bit of a mock. Yeah.
Well, the reason I'm joyous, the reason I have a little bit more spring in my step is because I just got done talking with the lovely and the talented Anne T. Donahue. How are you, Anne?
I'm doing super well. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
It is. It's a pleasure to have had you on. We talk about your second book, which is going to be coming out, which is called
Small Tornadoes.
Small Tornadoes. This is on the back of Nobody Cares. We do. But it's a great read, and you are all over the place writing for the Globe and Mail, writing for CBC. I've been picking up those articles. They're absolutely fantastic. Make sure you enjoy the words of Anne T. Donahue when they come out into the ethernet. What do we talk about here? We talk about the writing process, depressurizing situations, using comedy and mirth.
We got a little political.
It gets a little political. Death and ghosts.
Yeah. I mean, it was all, it's all here. And, oh my God, we almost forgot. La Croix.
Yeah, our sponsor.
Our sponsor,
La Croix.
They don't know it. They're not paying for it. La Croix. It's got bubbles and shit in it. La Croix.
This one tastes like peach pear.
I'm glad you finished. Darcy, production note, make sure you take out the pear part. it tastes like
this
pee.
One tastes
Thank
like
you,
urine.
Anne. Oh, we just got something from La Croix. Cease and desist? Okay.
I don't know what that means, so I'm not going to pay attention to it. Doesn't matter.
I'm going to put that in the bad news pile and never look at it.
That sounds like something that's boring to me.
Yeah. And this is a fantastic conversation, as they always are with you. I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your day to join us.
I can't believe you wanted me here again, because I have for the last 4 years been following you around. I live under your car, and you finally paid attention to me.
What's up?
Don't worry about it. It's fine. It's okay. I've been eating the bags you use for the dog's poop.
Oh, dear. Oh, my. Okay.
You know what? A lot of nutrition. It's fine.
Well, he seems to like it. Actually, it's other dogs. Anyway, enough of this. Okay, you don't open a podcast talking about eating dog poop, but we just did. Here you go. All right. Here's Anne. Here's Darcy. Here's me. And here's the music that starts the whole damn thing. Hi, Facebook people. We're here with Anne T. Donahue. She's new to Facebook. Streaming anyway, because that's how this is going. The last guest that we had, John Cattucci, was not on Facebook, but had an imposter.
Ooh.
So like someone who, where were they? They were in San Jose, Costa Rica is where they were. No, they were in the UK from Costa Rica.
But they're originally from,
originally from Costa Rica, and had his headshot as their avatar.
That's so fun. And
you're now friends with them, right?
Still requesting.
Oh.
Still requesting. Oh, haven't got a reply.
Hey, Todd.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting a little brick wall fading through the middle of your face sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Just a second. Son of a bitch. No, I do not want a virtual background. I did a show last night, so I had to make the comedy club.
Oh, that's so nice.
Here.
I like how we've made... like this.
I'll actually show you. This is where I would have been right there.
That's so fun. You could do that now, and I would feel like I was at a
comedy
show.
Flappers, they'll sue.
I like the sign behind there. It's kind of like the old logo on your website.
Yes.
With the lights around it.
The old, hey, it's TVA. Yeah.
Yep.
Do you think we've got a lawsuit? Do you think?
I think so. Okay. Yeah, I'm sure I didn't steal that from them originally.
I will graciously take yet more bookings from Flappers. And by the way, I believe you know my attorney, Mr. Fromstein. I'm happy that you're off Facebook.
Thank you. I don't like it either.
It's I don't know. Like, I think I have tailored my liberal bubble enough that I don't get a lot of flack for anything I post on Twitter. It's Facebook where I'll do something like honestly, all I do is I up Periscope in the morning. I wish people happy birthdays. I tell people what to listen to, where to see me, and then I drop Periscope again. Because I have noticed when I do any sort of post that I would do on Twitter, that's when I get to hear from the experts from my hometown who didn't pass high school. So
God bless. Yeah. God bless.
It's weird that my safe spot is Twitter.
Yeah. I mean, fucking Twitter. I feel like I mean, Facebook, I just found that like Instagram, people might follow or mm-hmm. you might follow. It feels like there's still boundaries.
Right.
And with Facebook, I felt like there wasn't any. So sometimes you would get like a DM from someone you're not even friends with, but you're like, oh, this is an inappropriate message because mm-hmm. I haven't talked to you in like 10 years. And I feel like the older I've gotten and the more shit that has happened in the world and in my world, mm-hmm. I've just started to like pull back a little bit on what I share. I used to be very like, I don't know. I'm not too sure if it was, I don't think it was the Trump era. I think I'm just very tired.
Sure.
And I think that's just a state of being at this point.
That's when I see someone not exhausted, I turn to them and I go, how do you do it? Like, what are you doing?
They're on drugs.
Sure. That could be it. Yeah. Yes.
And not like the kind, like that we're all on, like our antidepressants and anxiety medications. Like they're on the kind that it's like, careful. Cause there's, you could really hurt your cartilage in your nose. So be careful.
How many milligrams of whatever are in that La Croix that are keeping you stable right now?
Oh God, just sparkling water, baby. It's all I have left. So sad, but at the same time, so appropriate and so wonderful. Right. My big outing today was because I don't live in Toronto and mm-hmm. I live in Waterloo region. Everything did like the soft open. Mm-hmm. That's like, so, I went to Value Village cause I need new clothes. Cause I got rid of all, like I purged my wardrobe 1,000 times during lockdown. And then also you just hit point. You're like, I only have 6 sweatshirts and like 2 pairs of jeans. Mm-hmm. I got too trigger happy. I was just going through everything. So I got 7 shirts for $49. Uh-huh. Yes, that was my big outing. And I don't even know where that story was going, but it was here. And this is where we are. It's the La Croix. I swear it's intoxicating me at this point. Thrifting and La Croix.
That's fine.
Two of the things that get me through the day.
I guess one thread we can start pulling at is, when did you move to the Waterloo region?
Oh my God. Oh, I've lived there since 2000. P.S. Are we podcasting right now? Is this happening?
Yeah, we're on.
Oh, okay.
This is the show.
This is the show.
Wonderful.
You've done this before. You know, there's no preamble,
but it was literally the night of Trump's like election mm-hmm. is when I did the podcast with you last.
Right.
And you and I were both like, what do you think's going to happen? Uh-huh. And I think I was like, he's going to win. And you were like, I don't want to think he's going to win. Like you were optimistic, but you wouldn't commit. And then I remember I went to, oh my Lord, but it was the deli on college, the Kaplansky's. And I got myself like a bunch of food and drove back home to Cambridge and nothing still. Was it Kaplansky's? Is that at the deli?
Yep.
That's it. R.I.P. Yep. And I drove back to Cambridge and ate all the food and was like, this will make everything feel better. And mm-hmm. guess what? It didn't.
No.
It did not.
No.
No, in fact, I did not understand what was about to happen. And oy vey. But yes, I live in Cambridge. I have lived in Cambridge since 2012.
Okay. And the internet in Cambridge is from 1905.
Is that a surprise? Hello.
Yeah, you're here. You're here. There you go.
Okay. All right. I was like, I don't think it's that big of a like news story that I live in Cambridge. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. I grew up here and I live here.
Okay.
I had my own apartment up until summer. And then with the whole pandemic stuff, I just like got rid of it and came back to my parents' house because mm-hmm. it's just easier, especially when everybody's like, my parents are in their 60s and I'm that person that wants to make sure they're like mm-hmm. okay and like them. It's a secret.
Yeah.
I actually like hanging out with them because like we've gotten close and I was a horrible, horrible 20-something-year-old.
Sure.
So it's nice to come back and be like, my dad and I go for walks almost every day mm-hmm. and like he already does 10K in the every morning. So he's like much more fit than I am. And then my mom and I will watch like Unsolved Mysteries at night. Okay. So like, this is, I don't know what to do when the pandemic ends. I'm going to like, they're my two only friends now. So it's like, how do I tell them they can't come with me to like dinner with someone? Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
my parents, we actually moved out of Toronto as well so that we could be within striking distance to both of our mutual parents, my wife's and mine. And,
you froze on me.
Oh, did I?
Oh, okay. You're back.
Hi.
But you're back. It was a really nice action shot. Yeah. We moved.
We moved. It's nice to be close to the parents because they are in a health and age bracket that COVID would just be tucking a napkin under its chin as it saw them. So, they're doing fine. They're going a little bit stir crazy. And we have roped off the areas of discussion that we are not allowed to talk about and just carry on about our days and visits. So,
oh, that's so nice. Yeah. We have like, so you've moved from the place that I came to record at.
Correct. In yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, who knew? Not me until this minute.
It's okay. I thought you were in Toronto still.
It's just we don't know where we live, and that's okay, and that's totally fine. I know. Go ahead. Sorry.
No. I was just going to say, like, it's so weird. I'm glad that you remember, just like, you know, when that we recorded on the election time, and so now we're back again. How's your four years been? Has it been
four
great?
Beers? How yeah. dare you?
That was a Freudian slip.
Damn it, Todd. How have I been? I mean, you know, I feel like I've lost all concept of time. I have no idea. Like, there's nothing. When I get the flashbacks on like Instagram, where it's like, remember this? It's like, oh my God, we're aging. I wrote a book that came out in 2018. Mm-hmm. So that happened.
Yes.
I'm working on its follow up now, and it was supposed to come out this fall. And then a bunch of stuff happened last year on top of all of the stuff that was happening. And I basically was like, I think I need some time to marinate with mm-hmm. like real life. And my editors are a dream at ECW, Jen and Chrissy. And they were like, girl, if you want to fucking put it off for 4 years, we can. If you want to cancel it, we can. Like, we love you and we just want to help you. And then like, see, this is how to work together as a thing. So, yes, now I'm back in the battle. And
so the book in question is Nobody Cares.
The first book is called Nobody Cares.
I assume the second book is, nope, still no one cares.
You're just like, oh, no, I care too much. it turns out I care. I personally care. No, it's called Small Tornadoes because it kind of, when I pitched it, it was more like nothing had happened. It was 2019. Mm-hmm. Like, things are going on in the world, but like, I'm like, yeah, you know, I make mountains on molehills and like blah, 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 blah. And all these storms feel like small tornadoes and blah, blah, blah. And then it turned into like the year that's happened. And I'm like, whoa.
Yes.
Well, we're going to get into a lot of fucking mortality, friends.
Yeah.
Hope everyone's depressed because I know I am.
Yeah. I think my memoirs would just be called A Head Full of Bees and Whiskey.
Oh, that's very classic.
That's where I am.
Sounds like a Tom Waits album, if I'm being honest.
I do. I have sort of like, if I tried to sing his voice, I could probably do it, but my voice agent would throttle me and go, why are you doing that to you? I don't understand how he sings, by the way.
Me neither, but part of me wishes I could sing that way, which would be very shocking,
really?
Considering I'm a young, gish woman with a very high voice.
You don't need to sound like this.
I remember I've never really liked Tom Waits. Like, no offense. A person,
It's unlistenable. Can we agree? It's unlistenable.
Feel bad for him. I don't know. I don't think I'm his demo. I don't think he's watching this. And I don't think so sorry, but I don't. And I think I'm not his target audience.
No.
Donahue is not who he would like to impress.
Here's the thing. Tom Waits, I think, is kind of like the throwback tradition of like the 70s where we kind of look back and pretend the first season of SNL was magical. Like, it's kind of like that. It's like you put on Tom Waits and go, yeah, right? And you go, no, that's no is what that sounds like.
Yeah, it's very, I don't want to say abrasive, but I don't know how you could drive to it or walk to it or put it on. And bless his soul and bless that voice.
Sure.
But it ain't for me.
So as someone who enjoys the written word, his lyrics are fantastic. So I get that, right?
Poetry.
Yes. Like one of my favorite songs, in fact, I would say the favorite song of his is Frank's Wild Years, where he doesn't sing. It's just poetry, him singing this poem put to music kind of in the background, kind of like a little jazz.
Just done that.
Yeah. The first line in it is, Frank settled down the valley and hung his wild years on the nail he drove through his wife's forehead. That's the starting point.
So it's a fun, upbeat little jazzy.
It's very, number. It's quite poppy. It's
just a jam. Maybe Justin Bieber will cover it one day.
In modern day parlance, it slaps. So
perhaps. Oh my God. See, you're officially younger in spirit than me because I don't even try. I'm just like, that's a great song. People are like, how old is she? It's like, she's like 84, but also 35, but right. Then a bit of 22. Right. But yes, sorry. Now I've taken us on a journey through my years. Listen, this is your rodeo and I am here.
This is why I like having you on the show. Cause I can just go, hey, Ann, what's up?
And I'm like, I'm in my room. Let me tell you about the shirts I bought today. All from the 70s and the 90s.
Oh, is Tom Waits one of them?
Tom Waits modeled them for me. We're actually dating. There you are. So that's exciting. That's why I know he doesn't care what I think about his music because we're in love. It's okay.
But there was that time that he kind of grew up I'm throwing Bob Dylan onto this pile as well. Like great, great, great lyrics. Horrible, horrible, horrible singer.
Here's my thing. I didn't grow up with Bob Dylan and Tom Waits. That wasn't what my dad and mom listened to.
Yes.
I got a lot more of Elton John and Fleetwood Mac in the 70s. And then when I was a kid, it was all 90s pop. And then it turned to punk when I was a teen. So yeah, exactly.
What flavor of punk?
Oh, like, we got a couple.
Okay.
We've got Propagandhi, yeah, which I remember, it was basically me and my best friend and then a couple other girlfriends of mine, and then we'd hang out with, all these guys, and everybody would, hang out in Sean's basement, and we would watch CKY and, Jackass, and then there'd be, one of the guys was, very political, so he was, had, Propagandhi on, and then, had Belvedere.
What age, by the way? I just want to know what age he's being political.
16.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect time to be engaged in political.
Because these are the Bush years. So he hung the American flag upside down in his bedroom, and his dad lost his fucking shit. And we were all like, fuck you. And I still feel that way about George Bush.
Son, you do not disgrace that flag by hanging it upside down. You fly it up proper, or you make pants or a shirt out of it. That's what you do to respect the flag.
So we would listen to oh my goodness, Big Wig and Pennywise. And then there'd be Lesson Jake. And we had, it was fun and good. And then I used to be very embarrassed with what I eventually went into, which was more top 40. I was also 19 and 20. Sure. And also, fuck, you listen to what you listen to. I still listen to all my old punk music from being a teen. But then also, the disco channel on Sirius XM. Studio 54. Mm-hmm. I'll listen to all of those songs, and I will wish that I was at any club or any place without a disease because I'm absolutely desperate to be around human beings.
I tweeted the other day, I got a Bluetooth speaker for my shower.
Humble prick.
Yeah, just, hey, when you have $19.95 to spend, Anne.
That's
what you throw that money to.
I just leave my phone by on the thing so for podcasts when I'm getting ready, and I have gotten water on it and it went off so many times.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, we'll figure it out, and then just put it back on. Right. So I'm like,
yeah,
who needs things?
So I, by the way, just so you know, the suction cup on it doesn't work. It falls off the glass, like, I don't know, once a month. So it's just like, and which scares the wife. She's like, something's in the house. It's my Bluetooth speaker.
It's like, and, I break it. I'm burglar holding your Bluetooth speaker.
Yes, exactly. You're just like,
I'm so sorry. It just fell.
Oh, the audio listener will want to go to Facebook/ComedyAbovethePub to watch this folly. We've been doing a lot of acting, and I'm totally okay with it.
We have? Oh, have we really?
Yeah. Well, there's been screen things and that thing I did when I froze.
You did that.
You know that. And, you know.
I'm the burglar holding your Bluetooth.
And then I showed you what this looked like, and then it was the thing, and then,
I made you that paper mache swan very quickly.
Darcy did origami for some reason. I don't know how
it
that
was amazing. Yes. I just couldn't believe it. Mm-hmm. Tom Waits came by.
Yes.
Threw a bottle of bourbon at us. Yeah. Oh my God.
I ate a Reuben sandwich on air. It was great.
I love a Reuben sandwich. Okay, go on. Sorry.
So I had I had the speaker on, and as soon as I got out of the shower, I tweeted, I have now figured out how I'm going to die. It will be slipping while I'm dancing to Donna Summers in the in the shower.
Well, that's a way to go.
Yeah, because I was in there until the water went cold, dancing to I Feel Love. And
that song is so good.
Yeah.
That song is amazing.
Yeah.
All of her songs are amazing. You have this. See, I feel like you've almost planned for the perfect exit. I mean, I want to talk about death, but I always want to talk about death.
That's the last thing I heard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. And what a wonderful way to go. And then you could either be a ghost.
Yes.
And then you could always knock the Bluetooth speaker off.
That'll be like Agatha and the dog, you know, just on the bed, you know, watching TV after I've passed away. And then there'll be a thunk and she'll go, oh, hi, honey. And then that'll be it. This'll be like,
that's right.
It's the most unromantic ghost that you have.
I think that's extra romantic. The everyday is what's romantic.
Right. She just comes down. Could you close the cupboards, please? Is like, no, don't
please.
Like that. Yeah. It would be one of those things. Like, was it Sixth Sense? Where?
Yes, with the open cupboards.
Where all the cupboards open?
And it's the woman who's like, that scared the shit. That part is fucking terrifying. Actually, that movie. Really scary now that we're here talking about that.
Right.
That is a part though. I mean, that was, to me, that's the scariest movie I've ever seen.
Sixth Sense?
Because it could happen.
True.
It could happen.
I'll level with you. One of the most frightening things that I find on the internet is always like the when the ghosts move stuff.
Ooh.
I hate that. I just
when you see it move or it has moved
when you see it move, like when they like when a bucket goes flying across the floor or something.
Oh, like a poltergeist or something like that.
Yeah.
See, I love ghosty stuff because it's interesting and fun. And some people like Zach Bagans from the Ghost Adventures crew take it oddly seriously in a way that's like, this can't be good for anybody in your life, including you. But I do love a good like when you go into a house. Well, okay, so once my friend Mina and I went on one of Toronto's ghost tours.
Right.
And it wasn't good. I need to stress that a million times. I think whoever was
leading it. Was like a guy in a sheet?
It was like a guy dressed up like a Victorian person. And it was years ago, maybe like 3 or 4. And he took us around to all these places and he would tell us these histories of these buildings and then the ghosts that they saw in them. And then at one point he brought us to, I think it was St. Mike's Hospital, the one by the Eaton Center. Mm-hmm. And he was like, there's a nurse in there and she doesn't have apparently doesn't have a face and she died in there, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, how did she die? Like, who was she? And he's like, oh, I don't know. And it's like, that's the whole point of the ghost tour, bud. So it was just like, I felt I could have led it better, like by just reading anything. But then we end up at Lion McKenzie's house, and that house is apparently very haunted. And we go in and it's like dreary as hell, like woof. And then Mina and I go downstairs and I didn't tell her this and she didn't tell me this until after, but we both started feeling really sick. Like we both started feeling really nauseous. And when we walked into the kitchen part where the table would have been, there was a big table there and I was like, oh fuck, I don't even want to look over there. And she at the same time was just like, something horrible happened on the table. And then we went upstairs and then left. And she's like, sorry, it was so weird, that basement, this and this. And I was like, that is weird because I wasn't even saying to her, I feel sick, or I feel cold and sick, or I feel like I actually need a glass of water because I might barf, or I feel like someone may have died there. So that kind of stuff is like, oh, I love it. And don't prove it right or wrong. Let me just like ride the wave.
Oh, but I adore stories like that. Like, I think there's, if I'm not mistaken, if I have the comic wrong, I think it's Rob Riggle.
Okay.
The comic and actor who, went to the basement of the Comedy Store, and the Comedy Store, I could have, just so we're clear, I could have the comedian completely wrong, but the Comedy Store used to be like a mob run business where people would go in and not necessarily leave. So, he went to the basement, and apparently the staff knew you don't go into the basement. You just don't. But something needed to be done down there. He needed to find something. So a bunch of them went downstairs. And they saw kind of in the darkness like a figure that was just, and it was just like, you know, kind of silhouette in the darkness. So it ran at them and then couldn't be found anywhere. And then suddenly one of the guys starts screaming, like his hand, and he goes, my hands are burning, because apparently the way they used to torture guys, the mob did, was they would put their hands on the stove. Right.
Oh my God.
And so they're like, okay, we're out. And as they were leaving, a piece of cardboard dropped from the ceiling, and it had the name of one of the guys in that party on it. And they're just like, we're out, we're gone. And so like at some point, like they were up in the main bar, and the stairwell to the basement had like one of those gates, like, you know, like the corrugated metal gates, and it was locked, but they were in there kind of having drinks afterwards, and suddenly the gate thing was rattling like that, and there was no one there. It's like, oh, cool.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. This is my dream scenario. Mm-hmm. I would love to experience that. And also, I have a very strange interest in the old, like, five families, et cetera. So I would love to go there and learn, like, the history of it. Because also, as a woman going down there, they probably wouldn't burn my hands.
Right.
If you could, like, reason with them to see if they could get some information. Like, oh, my God, he wasted it. He wasted his opportunity. Yeah. He did it wrong. You don't go there and taunt. You go and you're like, I respect that you're here. Mm-hmm. Please, maybe, you know, throw some information my way by doing something that doesn't affect me or my everyday life, but lets me know I respect you and vice versa. Right. You got to respect them, especially the mob.
See, I don't barter well with humans. I don't know how I would do with the spiritual world.
I do barter well, I think, with both, but that's only because I am a freak of nature who likes to ensure that we are all getting along. And if we're not getting along, then you take the fuck out.
Right.
And that's how we're going to barter. But if you lead with like whatever, you're good. It's like the other day I went to Life Labs because I needed to get a blood test. And where I live, the one that was closest to me for that appointment was, it was a bit of a clusterfuck. Like, a lot of people were outside and they had been called, and it was cold, and they were getting, you could see, you could feel like the tension rising. And then she called an Ann, and then I went up, and it wasn't me.
Right.
And so I like made a giant, like, no, like whatever.
And like B Donahue, would there be
Ann B Donahue? It was B Donahue. And like, then it was just like, we're all going to laugh at me. And then it turned into all of us just like bitching about things that we hated during the pandemic. Right. And it was like the tension went down and like, you don't have to control the sit, but you're just like, allow me to lead with something embarrassing about myself. And then we will all get along and we will all not burn down the Life Labs because it is very cold, but we need to go in there and give them our blood or our pee. It's up to you.
Sometimes it is another fluid, I will warn you.
I mean, listen, we're all getting older. It's all, the mysteries are all, they're done. So we can actually be like, hey, it's just like I warned you as this podcast was starting. Right. I've had six La Croix. I might need to go to the bathroom at some point. So far we're good. Oh, this is almost done. So we're going to see how that's going. Right. Anybody watching me for the first time are like, who the fuck is she? And the answer is, I don't know. I'm just some girl that lives and not even a small town.
In
just
Cambridge.
A town.
A town.
It's a town where Handmaid's Tale is filmed here, so party on.
What? Sorry, you said it was filmed there?
Mm-hmm.
Was it?
Here and in Toronto.
Okay.
Yeah, there's three little like areas of Cambridge, and the area that the Handmaid's Tale is filmed in, it's got a lot of like very, very beautiful, like 19th century like churches and buildings and pathways, and it's gorgeous. So they have, and where they have they hang someone in the execution center square. Right. That's like right downtown as well.
What was I watching the other? Oh no, someone I know. I just got done painting, or I just got watching Queen's Gambit.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I was talking to someone who painted the scenery for that.
Oh, cool.
And that was done, I think, in Cambridge, if I'm not mistaken.
A lot of films here. I think, oh my God, was it Octavia Spencer filmed something here in the summer? Because there's just a lot of really beautiful old buildings. There's a lot of like shitty newer ones, which is like... where I'm from. And I'm allowed to say that, but if anyone else were to say that, I would punch them in the throat in the parking lot. Mm-hmm. Like I have grown up to know.
Outside of a Life Labs.
Outside of a Life Labs. Like, fuck you.
Yeah.
But it's got it has this like cool, like Hollywood North thing going on. But the only thing that sucks is I don't really pay attention because and I'm not sitting around reading the local paper being like, who's filming here today? Mm-hmm. And I always find out after the fact that someone like cool and famous was here. And then in my head, even though I know that it would never have happened, I think, well, you missed your chance to be their friend. So there's that. Like, I think like they would be like, hey, are you on Twitter.com? I'm sorry. Is your avatar of you when you were 9? Do you want to be friends? And I'd be like,
you know, Rich Summer?
Elizabeth Moss would be like obsessed with that. She would be like, of course, oh my God, can I please be your friend? Anyhow, that's my story about living here amongst people that are famous and I've probably seen and not realized I've seen because I don't know how to look for them.
We now live, I think, a 15 to 20 minute drive from the gazebo, which shows up in, I think, 87% of all W Network Hallmark movies.
Oh my God, because Christmas.
Yeah.
Do you mind if I ask where you, like, what, whereabouts you live now? Because you were living
on... I do mind. It's none of your fucking business.
All right, well, that is fine, and thank you very much. Let's talk about my life.
I am in Ottawa.
Are you really?
Canada specifically, but I'm in Ottawa, yes.
Oh my God, when did you move there?
We moved here in May.
Do you like it?
It's nice.
Yeah.
It's very nice.
It's nice there.
It is. Okay. I don't know if you can picture this. It's different from Toronto.
Oh, wow. I don't know what that is.
Very, very different from Toronto. The first engagement I had walking my dog, we were just, you know, minding our own business, and this person had their dog out, and so I was moving aside because of COVID and, you know, distance, and they just went, how are you today? And I went, how the fuck is that your business? And it's like, it was that. I'm kidding. It's fine. I will say this, and I grew up in a small town, so I know what it's like to be, and my father was a minister, so my father had he had notoriety in the community. So people knew
local
him,
celebrity.
They knew our family.
Local celebrity.
Local celebrity Ken Van Allen.
A local celebrity.
That's right.
Yes.
You know. Yeah. When he had a star out in front of the hardware store. You know.
And he did it himself, right? Mm-hmm, he put that there with like chalk every day. Yeah. Oh, I love that.
You know, and the other ministers in town would get drunk and shit on it every New Year's.
But fuck the Catholics as a former one, so there you go.
Father O'Malley, he's a fucking glory hunter. So I know what it's like to have everyone in your business because I grew up that way. Like everyone would just go, oh, like, you know, I knew I couldn't do shit because it would get back to my parents. Or even better, I had to wait for my parents' friends who had grown up there and lived and grew their kids up there to let them know that it's okay if the kids are jumping off the Black Bridge into the Gananoque River. It's okay they do that. Kids do that. You know, it was very kind of like, opening moments of Stand By Me. It was that. Aww. Right?
Without the body. I hope. Or not. I don't know. I saw one drag out of the river when sure. I was like 18.
So oh,
I was
boy. Like, okay.
I mean, that's why people are like, you're very death obsessed. I'm like, listen to me. Let me tell you about the shit I've seen.
I'm going to close off my story quickly and put a pin into that because that sounds interesting. But this is kind of like how close-knit the community is here. Word travels fast. We have a friend of ours who we knew them before we moved into the neighborhood. And they were one of the reasons we moved here because we enjoy the pleasure of their company. They're great people. Love them to bits. And but if I need to know anything about anyone, I ask them because they know everything that's going on. So one day, I figured out that not only does the information come this way, it also goes that way from her. Because I was, again, walking the dog. This is how I get to meet people now. I was walking the dog, and they're like, oh, who's this? Because you always introduce yourself to the dog first. And I go, oh, that's Ernie. And they go, oh, this is Ernie. And I went, yes, it is. And go, oh, how are the kitchen renovations going? What? It like,
wow.
Yeah.
Well, how are they going?
Shitty. They're 2 months overdue because of COVID, and it's fine. It's almost
nothing
done.
Matters. That's no. The point of the last yes. 2 years. Like yes. What? I don't know.
Eat cake for breakfast.
I do. Just gladly. Do I had yes. cookies today. Actually, mm-hmm. I nothing. It's fine. Mm-hmm. I see. Cambridge is. I think we used to delude ourselves into thinking it was a small town when mm-hmm. we were. Like teens, because it was boring because we didn't have licenses or real jobs or anything. But the older I've gotten, the more it's expanded a shit ton. Right. And it is like, I don't know, 150,000, 130,000, mm-hmm. which sure. isn't like a small town anymore. But there are definite aspects of it where when my dad and I go for a walk or something, I will run into like a girl I went to high school with who's married to a guy I went to high school with. And then they have kids now. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, and for a while, when I was in my 20s, I was such a dick and I would judge that kind of stuff. And now I'm like, it brings you happiness. Mm-hmm. And also it's nice to see a familiar face while I'm touring the grounds, my right. friend. So I've turned into that person, mm-hmm. the eccentric weirdo who they're just like, what's up with her? And it's right. like, I don't know, Janine Garofalo would probably play me in like a teen film or something. Yes.
I agree.
Thank you.
I agree. That's a perfect stunt cast. let's get back to the 18-year-old that you drowned. How did you murder someone?
Well, they pissed me off. Mm-hmm. We were in the basement of comedy. They shit-talked
Cambridge. I understand.
We were in the basement of Comedy Cellar, and I had burned their hands. I told them if they came back with me, I could get them out of here. And by out of here, I did mean the life we were living. Mm-hmm. So yes. It is what it is. No, my friend and I were bored one night driving around aimlessly, and we saw like a big hoopla of like, you know, sirens and like whatever, blah, blah. And it turned out there was a rescue boat attached to one. And we were like, okay. Oh, fuck. Because in high school, there had been like a couple tragedies around. Like, I know someone when I was really little drowned in like one spot of the river by like my doctor's office. He'd been drinking, and I guess he like got stuck in the rain and it was horrendous. But mm-hmm. then in my teens, a young man drowned, and then the police officer who had like rescue had come down to like save him. He got caught in that same undertow and he drowned. And it was like, so I just remember thinking like, these were like the discourses that were happening quite a bit around me. And then of course there's the other things. Like there was a guy in our area who was very like upset about his mother dying. So he like lit himself on fire in the cemetery. And like that, it was just always like very morbid. So anyways, my friend and I were watching this happen, and she's like, we should follow and see where they're going. I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. So we like parked and like walked, and we kind of just thought we would see like, I don't know what we thought we would see, mm-hmm. but we couldn't see his face, but it was like a man who had probably like slipped or something. Mm-hmm. Cause it's very easy to, if you get too near the rocks, and they were pulling him out, and it's a weird feeling. You put that away when you're young in a place that you're just like, oh, I'll deal with this later. And right. then it was like a couple years later, that same friend and I were at a restaurant in Guelph, and it was on a main highway, and we were on the patio. And a guy was in on his motorcycle. Two of his friends were riding, and he was riding one. And he crashed into a pole and got severed in half, like right in front of us. And that I was 21. And like, that was another thing. Like you put away, my mom was like, even recently, she's like, you don't really process that. Cause the last year and a bit had been like a lot of coming to terms with things like that mm-hmm. and being like, oh yeah, that was fucking terrible. So I think, yeah, it's strange. Death is strange. It's very, I'm very puzzled by it.
Uh-huh. Well, speaking of which, mm-hmm. It was summed up, I think, today perfectly, and I believe I have the author of this correct. Comedian Steve Dillon, friend of mine, mm-hmm. pretty sure he's been on the show. I haven't done a lot of research, but I'm pretty sure he would be one of those guys where I go, you should do the show again. And he would go, I haven't done it yet. And I would go, oh, but I'm positive he's done the show. Positive. Steve Dillon, he's like, and his tweet today was, what's your favorite news story today? No rush.
No rush. Rush Limbaugh.
There you
he
go.
Died.
Yes.
He did die. Yep. I don't agree with anything he represented or stood for. So I have no comment on his death, but
I'll say it. I hope he suffered.
He's a bad person. He was a bad person. Like mm-hmm. It's weird. Yeah. It's weird when a bad person dies. He's like, it's strange. Yeah. But then there's bad. So Rush Limbaugh, I'd put him bad.
Sure.
But then I think about like Rob Ford mm-hmm. because that was like, the more further away we get from that, the more it's like, oh no, like this person was very damaged.
Yeah.
And a lot was happening. Mm-hmm. And we made fun of them because we were scared and very rightfully angry.
Right.
But also, where were his people and how did that, like, what the
right.
fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the other, those are the categories that you're like, oh.
Yes. I agree. I mean, the Rob Ford is a tricky one.
I'm just getting more LaCroix.
Oh yeah, of course. You know, certainly if you need to go to the bathroom, loading up on that again will be
no, we're good. See? I even have I have space. We're good. We got it.
The painting has been revealed there that was behind you.
Yes. What is it? It's a deer in a crenel. What do they call
it? No,
that
it's a llama.
It's a llama.
It's a llama, and he's got like a fancy collar on and he's got a crown because he's a royal llama. I like art that is weird because I'm original. No, that's not why. It's probably because I'm fucking, I don't know. Literally no LaCroix left after mm-hmm. the next two. So that's where I'm at. and I bought it today.
You're like Barney asking for more beer at the poker game.
Yeah. After that case of LaCroix and the other case of LaCroix, there's no more LaCroix. Yeah, we're making more LaCroix. That's it.
Now, for the record, I do want to say, I don't want to absolve Rob Ford of anything that he did, because he did some fucking awful stuff mm-hmm. that hurt communities in a profound way, and they're still not recovered, and they're still getting fucked. So, I just want to make that very clear, mm-hmm. and then you can continue
to say what
you
were But no, saying. He was a damaged soul, but that does not excuse the same people that could have helped him are the same people that could have stopped him from doing the damage that he did, right?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Yes. Rush, on the other hand, knew what he was fucking doing.
Oh, he knew what he loved it.
Yeah.
He loved what he was doing. Mm-hmm. That's what makes a bad person. I mean, I don't know, mm-hmm. your intent and when you're corrected, instead of correcting, you double down and then you make that your brand. That mm-hmm. is just, I don't know. But then I also think kind of how sad are you, in your mm-hmm. heart, to be that full of vitriol and hatred towards people that, I'm sorry, I'm full of hate towards a lot of people, but I like to think that they deserve it. Right.
It's hate based on lies. And I forgot this about him, that he would do a funny death toll when a celebrity died of AIDS.
Yeah, he's disgusting.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you always see those people. I look at Donald Trump, who I loathe, obviously. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, what makes you, what is it? Was it your privilege? Was it your father? Mm-hmm. Was it, what made you this deluded and this dangerous? And what happened there? But mm-hmm. the same reason I'd probably listen to true crime, because I'm like, what happened there? How do you go from being, a little boy who's got his little backpack on going to school to someone who is a prolific serial killer? Mm-hmm. where did, what happened? It's not going to excuse it, but I would love to know what happened. Like, but I think everybody wants to know. I think that's why we're also obsessed with true crime.
So I think, and I would love to see sort of like what the precursor was to that if we're talking about the Trump family. I think as soon as you saw the picture of Fred Trump and Donald Trump's mom, as soon as you saw those two pictures where he looks like a paper mache of a villain and she looks like what an who was the evil fish in Little Mermaid?
Ursula, but she's so cool in real life. I'm like, she's based on like a, I think she might be based on Divine a little bit. Anyways.
Sure.
Yeah.
She looks like Ursula, like, but aged. Yes. Like really sort of like
Cruella de Vil meets Ursula.
Yes. Yes. So when you saw those two together, you went, okay, now I get Donald. Like, he's not getting any hugs out of that one. And then you just see his offspring just become worse and worse and worse. And like, I think Baron, like, how many kittens has that kid drowned so far?
I'm hoping is that deep down he's like actually like listening to a lot of like Black Flag and as much as he possibly can. And he was like, he's, you know, he's a teen boy. So like there's a chance that all of that rage you feel as a teen, regardless of who you are, can be tapped into in a productive way. Like maybe he fucking hates his parents. Like maybe he's just I hope he does. Yeah. I hope he does now, so much.
Admittedly, this is not reported on anything even close to verifiable or anything like that. But apparently on Air Force One or something like that, he threw his food that he didn't like at the server. Now I don't, which is completely, it's false or completely true. It's like one of the two. Mm-hmm. We don't know, but honestly, like I'm hoping that's the lie and I'm with you. Like, you know, when you've got parents like that and you want to rebel against them, he's going to turn into the next Greta Thunberg. Maybe that's going to happen.
I mean, it's all such a mess because you do look at Trump's kids and you're just like, are you not learning? Like, mm-hmm. Is this what happens when you grow up in that kind of like toxic, like tunnel mm-hmm. where there is nothing but what like daddy thinks of you, like Succession style. Mm-hmm. But then even in Succession, you have some of the characters who are like breaking away and like, da, da, da. It's a fictional family. I understand. But still, I don't know. Like, every time I think about, like, sometimes right now I'm at the point where I'm like, I would love to forget that Trump existed. I'm like, no, because us thinking that someone like that can't come to power is what the fucking problem was. Because here we are. Mm-hmm. So it's, I think a lot of like, let's do some like analyzing. Let's go through the weeds and be like, what brought us here? Right. And it's like, well, systemic racism, but we'll begin there. But with this human person, like what? Wow. It's weird. It's weird to think 4 years ago, you and I were talking literally on election night and wondering what was going to happen. And then that happened and it was awful. And it's still not great. We're not rescued right now. This is like, it's like a, I don't know. Sometimes I'm like, am I cynical? Like, no, I think it's just healthy to be realistic about what's actually going on.
Yeah. It's, I find like looking at sort of like the things in government that need to be fixed now to prevent this from happening is kind of like the urban planners going through Tokyo after Godzilla walked through. It's like, we're going to need more beams.
Can we just need, order some beams?
Yes. And how about zero monsters in the future? How about that? Could we have zero monsters? Is and that possible?
We don't know. We got to see. I mean, 55% of white women this time voted for Trump. That's a fucking problem.
Yes.
And that has not just like disappeared. It's like, I mean, even like this impeachment stuff, you see all the anti-vaxxers. It's always, I think what makes me sad, and you don't want to think about this as like when the first vote in happened and Trump became president. Mm-hmm. All of this has always been very, it's existed forever and ever and ever and ever. And it finally just like, instead of it being that like secret idea that it's like where white people believe that we've like evolved past things, it just kind of like, instead of like tapping the keg, like it opened the keg and then it dumped it everywhere. And then it turned out that was a wall of kegs and they're all dumping out. And it was just like, this was all here. And people who've been paying attention have been like, we literally told you there's a wall of kegs. Like it's so
happy Oktoberfest. You know.
Yes. So I think there's still that, like the kegs turned off. It's like all the other kegs they're still on. We still have to turn those off and we have a lot of work to do. So I don't know. Do you ever just feel, sometimes I feel really old and tired. And then other times I'm like, but that's a privilege. So shut the fuck up and do some work and go do your homework.
No, that is my daily mantra. When I wake up and I go, what the fuck? And then it's like the dog's like, I need to pee, prick. And like, okay.
Yeah, fine. Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, oh, God. It's, yeah.
You want to feel mopey? Pick up a bag and grab my shit. That's what you're doing today, old man. Yeah.
Welcome to the real world. Things are awful. Mm-hmm. So you better get cracking because guess what? See? You haven't really. Yeah.
Yeah. See what came out of my back door? That's the best thing you're going to see today.
That's a great metaphor for like the life that we're all living right now. Mm-hmm. I know it's weird. Balance of like the hope and then balance of like the, okay, but let's not get fucking sparkly rose colored glasses. We have to like.
Yeah. You know, okay. Niall Sagan was on not too long ago and he referred me to a book, which he referenced, I think the last time he was on before, which is, I don't know the title, but it's something along the lines of Everything's Okay. Right. Or It's Not as Bad as It Seems. I think that's probably a more appropriate title. It's Not as Bad as It Looks or Seems, whatever. I apologize to the author for fucking that up. But apparently it's like when you look at things, you're able to take, right? And I think one of the things we can take from the US election is the fact that the system was gamed against that result significantly. And the fact that, okay, so you can look at it on a very kind of base level and go, there are 70 million assholes that voted. Mm-hmm. True. That is undeniable. But there is 7 million more people who said no. And did and were able to go against a jury-rigged system of electoral college, of disenfranchised voters, of gerrymandering. All those things did not matter. So that's hopeful.
That's the thing. Those are the kernels you have to hold on to. You have to hold on to those or else it's a lost cause. Mm-hmm. You have to believe that people are inherently capable of good. They might not be good now. Some might be pretty bad right now. And it's not our job. Like I don't believe I need to like tell someone why, like if I meet somebody who's like a, what are they, Proud Boys or whatever, I'm not going to try and convert him to like having a conscience.
Nah, but let the cops handle it.
Yeah. do we really want cops doing stuff? I feel like maybe defunding would be very good. But we don't need to get into that, but I will say that that would be great. but I feel, I don't know. You have to believe that like there's that little pearl in everyone almost where it's like, you can't be all bad. You can't be all bad because that many sociopaths and psychopaths are not, they can't exist by like they can't. No. So, you know, just that's what I don't know. But then, good God, then I think about it. I'm like, well, now what do we do? And it's like, well,
I think the whole thing is a ship, and it's like a big one with a whole bunch of like, you know, those metal containers on it, and it's just chugging through the ocean, and the turning radius is not sharp, so it takes a while for the change to occur. But
yes.
You know?
And then it's steady, or eventually I hope we'll steady. I also think like, I don't know. When I think of like when Blackout Tuesday happened back in June and there was a lot of white people, especially being like, listen, I'm learning and I'm listening. It's like, okay. But like what super, what are we all doing though? To like, actually, like, are we going to donate to Black Lives Matter? Mm-hmm. Like, are we going to make sure that we're like defending when like shit gets real and they're just like, you know, somebody gets shot by the police or something, are we going to actually like rally for change? Are we going to like, and not everybody feels comfortable going into like protests and crowds and that is totally cool. But it's like, well, what are your platforms and what are your gifts and how can you use your platforms and your gifts to like elevate messages that aren't yours, but belong to the voices who deserve attention and who deserve justice. Mm-hmm. And I think it's like, I think one of the jobs that us white people need to do is swallow our fucking egos. And like, we're not going to be like, I'm helping. Like, shut up. Just fucking.
Just burst in the shirt. So there's a big S right there. You know.
Oh my God. We're responsible for so many horrible things. Mm-hmm. Just be cool, man. Like, just do the things. Mm-hmm. And also remember that, I mean, and avoid, I don't know. I remember around that time, do you guys watch Obsession?
I haven't seen it yet. I have not seen it yet.
Okay. There's this part where one of them is like, there's a big thing happening. And one of the characters is like, were they talking about me? And the whole guy turns around and he's like, yeah, cousin Greg, they're all talking about you.
Yeah.
And sometimes feels like people are like, did you see the post? Did you see the post I made? Yes. Everyone saw it and they talked about it and you changed everything. And you're good now. Everyone said mm-hmm. you're one of the good ones. It's yeah. like, no, we're all shit. So now we got to fucking fix that yeah. because it's nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
I like that I'm just like increasingly angry every time I come on your show.
I know. No, it's great. The day that we don't have anger, I don't know what we'll talk about. I honestly.
Oh.
Yeah.
You should be angry. We yeah. should all be angry.
I'll tell you what. One of the things that I do it every week. I go onto this this video podcast. It's called Upload. I am the only white guy on the panel. It's hosted by Andrew Moody, who's a black playwright and actor here in Canada. Lewis Taylor, who is a writer and producer, and also a person of color. He is black. And Bobby Del Rio, who is Italian and Chinese. I am the only white guy. And we talk about everything that is focused through race. And so like when the George Floyd riots were going on, I did a lot of listening. And I tend to just add humor and just a toehold for white people to feel comfortable watching that. And I think that's enough. I think I've done my part. So I'm good. There's always more that we can do. And that
can
is.
Can you imagine if you were just like, I don't assist in any other way.
No, that's like, what okay. I do. I hang out with those neboos. Test pattern, you know, drunken cameraman. As I describe it, it is hosted by one of the most erudite and it is hosted by Andrew, who is smart and topical and brings in great points of discussion. Then there's Lewis, who's the other black participant on the panel, who is very erudite and very thoughtful in everything he does. Bobby Del Rio, who is very fiery, and he tells a story from being both kind of white and both kind of Asian and not really find his place in the other thing. And I'm the white guy who sits there and tries to, and just goes through, don't say the N-word, don't say the N-word, don't say the N-word, don't say the N-word, don't say the N-word.
Just for the record, yeah. You don't actually you don't just drop that word, do you?
No, like you're not, never.
Okay, I don't know. I listen. Yeah. I have met you once. Yeah. I don't like as you were saying that, I'm like, oh fuck, dude. No. Like, no, this, no, no, okay, no, no. Okay.
In fact, today I was reminded about this thing that I did. I did 10, 11 years ago, there's a video that I did. That I had online of Rorschach from The Watchmen doing stand-up, right? Mm-hmm. And I did a couple of times and recorded it, and it was great. And I was thinking back, going, oh, yeah, that was kind of cool. Maybe I should bring that back again because, you know, Watchmen was kind of fun. And I was going through sort of the script of it because I had a script of it, and I went, oh, it's quite problematic now. Like, even within a decade, it's like, I have to take that down because it is not at all pleasant. Like there's some people in various communities that would be hurt by or the comedy that Rorschach would be putting forth. Now it would be done as the character, and the character would be valid in saying those things. But I, as a comic, did not feel that that is necessary to say. So,
I feel. Oh, go ahead.
No. I'm just, so I was like, no, I don't. You know, it had its time. Doesn't need to be there now.
I feel like a good barometer is like, would someone like if you're like, well, this doesn't offend me, like, okay, groovy. Mm-hmm. Will it, like, then it's not about you, you know, like it's about whether it's offensive to another person. Correct. Who, because as soon as somebody says that's offensive, then they're offended, and then you take that down, like it's over, like, mm-hmm. sorry, I didn't know, or like that I should have known better, or whatever. Like, that is, yeah. And a lot of old material just doesn't stand. I mean, I was talking recently with somebody about a Sex and the City episode, and they dealt with race in this like incredibly obtuse way that would never get made now. And I don't even, and you don't even want to watch the episode anymore. And you shouldn't, because right. It's fucking bad. Mm-hmm. And it's weird that they wrote it like this. Yeah. But I mean, like, you know, I think a lot of things got to pass because, the higher ups didn't care. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's very simple where it's like people didn't care. So, and they did what they wanted. And now we're being told that that's not cool. And some people have a problem with that. Mm-hmm. And those people, that's, well, sorry.
Yeah. There's a joke that is on my, my second album, that I was toying with, what do I do with this? And it was, I had recorded this kind of before all the problems that we had more recently about racism and society and systemic racism. And I looked at the joke and I went, am I cutting this the right way? So I went to my friends on Upload and said, mm-hmm. You are members of this community. What do you think? And to comedians out there, there is no excuse for you not to be able to research your material and to be able mm-hmm. to put it in front of people and go, you're a member of this community. I want to be on the right side of this argument when I'm talking about this community. Am I cool here? And they gave me a couple of notes and I took them. And the joke is way better now than it ever would have been. And all it took was a couple of quick edits and it was done. And that's all it took.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it's also smart. I like to play it safe where if I start to second guess something like a joke or something that I'm about to write, I'm like, and it's like, I just take it out because I'm like, you know what? If my reaction is mm-hmm. like, maybe I shouldn't, then it shouldn't. And once I can write more words, I can mm-hmm. write more jokes. And, that's all very easy. And I also think it's important that we make sure that like, we don't take advantage of our like friends of color and our Black friends and like our LGBTQ friends as well, like on this realm too, to be like, is this okay? Because it's like emotional labor is taxing. And mm-hmm. that is a part of the problem as well. Just to be like, is this cool? And it's like, I'm trying to fucking live my life. Like, shut up. Uh-huh. So like, I feel like there's also like conversations to be had in that space to be like, okay, now if I wasn't to go to these people, or if I were to like, you know, this is now labor they're doing for me, mm-hmm. am I going to pay them for this labor? And that's, I mean, these are all the little things that's mm-hmm. like, we can all start massaging into like a really cool and different looking society. And like,
go ahead.
I think it's cool that you like talk to your pal. So to be like, is this okay? Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. Like this show you're on sounds very interesting. I haven't heard it before. So I mean,
it's called Upload, like 14 other projects out there. So we kind of get lost in the noise, but yeah, it's,
but now I can look for it
and
like,
and
then I can find out who, like, I can learn more about your friends who sound like super talented, interesting too. No wonder you're on the show. You're all cool. You're okay.
Thank you. Okay, I'll take. Bobby right now is in a Clubhouse wormhole. Like every time he comes out now, he just looks like he's been doing meth for 3 days. And like, you won't believe what I did today. He's like, okay, great. Okay, fine.
Sounds like whenever I'm writing. So mm-hmm. I like, give him all the props in the world for that.
Right. But yeah, like research and stuff like it doesn't always work. Like I had one joke that was addressing homophobia, and my gay friends in the community went, that's a good, I didn't even ask them. They just went, that's a good joke. I'm like, thank you. And I have this other one on transphobia, and it's like the unsolicited, I'm getting thank you for that. I'm like, cool. Okay. So I know I'm doing okay. And I published this joke that I had, it's called Homophobia on the album. And one of my trans friends, messaged me and, she was like, I heard the album. I love it. However, that joke that you call homophobia, isn't it really transphobia? And as soon as she said it, I went, God damn it. You're absolutely right.
It's like, or she's
God
right.
Damn it. God
she
damn it.
Know.
Yes. So, yes. And I was like, yep. Oversight. Next time I have the opportunity to rename it, it shall be renamed. Don't worry about it. Got it. And that's all that takes. Just an acknowledgement of like, oh, fuck, it went to press. So like, okay, well, then fix it later. That's it.
Yeah, that's how you learn. That's how you like then take the note and fix it. Like, mm-hmm. it's not, I mean, I think that's what I mean. I'm like, we need to kind of like set our fragile egos ablaze because, you know, it's, I think a lot of people also like to be like patting themselves on the back where I'm like, I'm doing it right and I'm mm-hmm. doing it right. And like, but everybody's still to some capacity doing it wrong. Mm-hmm. And there's so much like, and that is called like the process that we're in right now where you're like learning and fixing shit and like mm-hmm. blah, 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 blah. Yeah. I mean, there are no perfect allies. That's for sure.
No, I get it. But, and at the same time, it's hard to balance that with this kind of Old Testament kind of feeling that I have that some people fucked up some serious shit here. And I don't think they should get a pass, right?
Like who?
I'm whenever the big meme for me kind of way back when, was when Trump voters would lose their business because of the thing that because Trump would pull out wires out of the fucking works and then go, oh, wait, I needed that wire. And then it's gone. And I'm like, told you so. And like the people who stormed the Capitol.
Yeah,
right?
Those like terrorists. Yeah.
So when those terrorists were getting really sad and mopey about being caught, I'm like, fuck yourself, because you did a bad thing and you should you should be punished for that.
Yes.
I have no time for it. So
no, same. I'm in that camp as well, where it's just like with that, like with such an overt act of domestic terrorism, like when you read like AOC's account of how scary it was, and she's a survivor of assault. So she's like, that's coming back. And she's also like preparing, like, are we going to die in this office? Those people knew exactly what they were doing. And they were doing it with the intent of having that effect. And like, I mean, also when you think of like, I don't really give a shit about people stealing stuff that much. Like, I mean, like, I don't go stealing, but like, I mean,
can you swivel the camera a little bit? I want to see if you got a lectern back there that's got the crest of the United States. Okay, no,
just lamp. That's fine. But like, just the fact, like, I mean, the smearing feces everywhere and like acts of just overt disrespect and acts of overt, like, and not even to like the Capitol, I mean, like, to human beings.
Yeah.
That like, now someone has to clean that up. And like, I know it sounds stupid, but it's like, we're in the middle of a pandemic. Like, that's like, you just like put a biohazard in their way. Like it's just, I don't know. I think like, so I'm like you, where if I see people like that getting like, oh, I can't believe I'm losing my job. Well, I can.
Yeah.
And you should. Yeah. And wonder, where did it go wrong for you? Maybe pinpoint that and then work backwards.
Mm-hmm. More dad hugs.
More dad hugs.
Yeah. I find it very hard to take seriously the requests from people who screamed at immigrants, wore Trump hats, and pointed fingers and said, go back to your country. Suddenly going, hey, how come Biden's mean?
Oh, yeah.
So yeah,
there's also that. No. Also, we're seeing a lot of like anti-Asian hate right now, tied to the pandemic. And there's a lot of, actually, if you go on Instagram, people who are watching, there's a lot of really great ways that you can like help out, whether it be via donations, via whether it be like engaging in your like government from like any level, really. So, but this is like something that's like, I mean, old people are being attacked in the streets at this point. So it's like, see, when we talk about like keeping your head up and getting shit done, like, let's engage, like, let's fucking put this fire out before like someone dies. I'm sure someone has already. But
it's inevitable.
It's unacceptable.
Yeah.
Everything is. That's, and that's where I'm like, everything is garbage. But then I'm like, no, but some people are good. And that's what keeps me going, where I'm like, some people are very good. And like, they're going to, it's going to be okay, because it has to be okay. I don't want it to not be okay.
All of that to say, I talked to Bobby Del Rio, who's half Chinese, once a week. So I think I'm doing my part.
Yeah, on the podcast.
I think I'm fine. I think I got it. Let's close on something positive. Let's do this. Enough of this bullshit. And you can't say Rush Limbaugh's death. What is something that you are enjoying these days?
Oh my God.
Truly love, that you are into, that is bringing you vibrancy in your day. You're like, I can't wait to see this, do this, listen to this. What is it?
Okay. There's a couple of things. Right now I'm watching Dairy Girls, which is, I think, one of the best shows I've ever seen.
Heard amazing things about that. Okay.
Oh my God, especially as like a half Irish person that relates not
Donahue?
To like the Troubles. Can you believe it? We didn't grow up in the Troubles and it did not affect our family, but we fight all the time, and it's just like watching it is just very like warm, and it's so funny. It's so funny. And oh, please watch it. It will make your heart so full. Sparkling water, preferably with flavor. Let's be completely honest.
What is the flavor of La Croix that you've gotten right now?
I am having peach pear, because I am an asshole who can't have regular water.
You're
like
a peach.
Person.
Together, we're a pear. La Croix.
Oh my God, I love that. Send that out to them. Get that fucking going. What else is going on? I'm looking around my room as if it's going to help me.
The letter A on the wall. Is that bringing you joy? Is it?
You know what? My plants. I have, I think, something like 14 plants in my room at this point. And they make me happy, because I like, see, I tender heart because I'm like, I have living things that are like, we're hanging out. And the, I have this one here. And
what's his name?
I don't name them because I don't want to assign anything to them. That's their own choice.
You could do like bi-gendered names. Chris.
No, because I know Beverly. Too many people for cool bi-gendered names. So I would be like, I would think of them in a weird way. And I'd be like, you can't watch me get changed. Chris.
Just, okay, make up a word then. Shma.
No. It's my children. They're just my children. All please right. show some respect. So that one follows the sun. So every time, like, over the course of the day, the leaves move in a really pronounced way. And it's a really beautiful thing. Also my cat, who I love very much, Barry Gibb. Mm-hmm. And I've puzzles. I'm such a loser, but I really love puzzles. They make me so happy.
Right. That is not Loserville.
No, it's true. And you know what? And my group texts with my best friends. And then I have like one-on-one text and like threads with like best friends. Mm-hmm. And those are usually exactly what I need. They can always come in the right time to like, you know, fill my cup back up if I'm having like a day mm-hmm. where you're just like, we may feel very alone right now, but we are not. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, you're loved and people care. And mm-hmm. I know that can sound super cheesy, but I think it's something that is important to remember when you're pacing around and there's another snowstorm coming and it's like, I can't do this,
right?
But it's going to be over and we will figure it out. And I don't know when we're all getting vaccinated, I guess in 2024. Sure. So that'll be fun. Yes. Every time I see an announcement, I'm just like, sure, you know, yeah. I know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Oh, and my final thing.
Yes.
Pink Flamingos. Not the movie by John Waters, although great. Mm-hmm. But I had these like old school Pink Flamingos from like they're the original from like the 50s, although like they're the updated. They're going to come out soon because it's going to be spring. And all I can think about is getting as many as possible mm-hmm. to the point where my dad's like, what the fuck have you done to my lawn? And I'll be like, I've made it better and you're welcome.
Yeah.
Actually, our agreement is I have to take out all the flamingos before he mows the lawn because he got tired of doing it last year and started getting really mad. Yeah. Anyways.
Your dad is going to want to mow the lawn, I think, twice a day. I think that's...
He's going to be like, are you fucking kidding me? Yeah. I have turned the backyard into like a tiki lounge-ish, but mostly like a trailer, the fancy kind from like mm-hmm. 1972.
Sweet.
Thank you very much. Awesome. What about you? What's making you happy?
As shitty as it is and as protracted as it is, I am enjoying the fact that even though comedy does not exist in a safe environment at this moment, I'm still able to do it over Zoom.
That's really important.
And I not unlike having your friends on text, I feel like it just kind of recharges and I feel like, okay, I tried something, I did something, I got a response on this. It still kind of fashions the work. It's not the same. We all know it isn't. And I also have to say, my little dog Ernie, it's nice whenever you're feeling bad, he'll just look up at you and just give you that kind of that look of like, everything's going to be okay. And get that green bag ready. I got to do
this. Because I'm going.
You know. Yeah.
That's like me to my parents.
Mm-hmm.
Told you I walk with my dad every day.
We need a new bag. Darcy, what's yours? What do you like? Mm-hmm.
Oh, see, right now I'm kind of sad. There's only two episodes left to watch of The Good Place.
Yes.
Mm. I really like that series.
It's really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So also, the last two. So Dairy Girls, maybe that's what I'll switch mm-hmm. to next. I did watch the first few before I got moved on to something else. So yeah, maybe I'll go back to Dairy Girls.
Can I add something?
Yes.
You have a magnificent tree for cats behind you, do you not?
Yes. It doesn't get used.
Okay.
The thing on the bottom gets used.
The cat
hasn't been up here in
forever. Several episodes.
Yeah, there was a few episodes this season where he would be asleep in there and would come out.
I would have died to see that actually. So you really ruined this podcast for me. Monty. So thanks for that. What's the name?
Monty.
Monty. My cat's name is Barry, as in Barry Gibb.
Oh.
That shouldn't shock anybody after this conversation.
And I'm assuming it still sings in a nice falsetto.
His meow is literally a Yeah.
What happened in here? Tragedy.
Yes, exactly. He threw up in my room today. And guess what? That's exactly what that was.
You know, he's really about, I started a joke. Okay.
Oh, he did. He's so sad. But he didn't throw up on my bed or on my clothes. He jumped down to throw up on the floor, which I got to say, like, that's a cat.
Yeah.
That's a real cat.
Hey, yeah. He's a
Monty
keeper.
Somehow knows to throw up, like, cough up hairballs into the litter box. Like,
oh, my God.
That is perfect. Like,
that's so adult.
What a gift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, my God. I'm so impressed with this cat. Right. Monty, congrats.
Yeah. Jimmy never had that. Jimmy would just wherever he stood. That was it. In fact, he was on the bed once and just went baff like that. And I turned around and all I saw was just like, it was like a cartoon. It was like him with a shocked look and just this stream of whatever just like came out of him. It was like, oh, poor buddy.
Oh, babies.
Nothing like cat barf to close off a show.
I love it.
And your book is called Nobody Cares. Mm-hmm. I also read your article in the Globe and Mail over Christmas, over the holidays. That was wonderful. And you just wrote up another article for where? Where was it?
Also the Globe.
It was also the Globe.
Also the Globe. Okay. And I write for the CBC, but I also write for the CBC every other week for CBC Arts. And we call it, it's a column called like Anniversaries. So we take on things that like are coming into like their own year, blah, blah, blah. So the last one is like Why Silence of the Lambs Actually Changed the Way We Consume True Crime.
That's which the
is
one really I cool. saw. That's the yes. Okay. I was sitting here going, there was something else that I saw that you wrote and it's like, yes, it was that one. That's right.
It's pretty fun and cool. And then I go back to working on my second book mm-hmm. soon, which is scary but exciting. Right.
And do we have a working title for that one again? What was it?
Small tornadoes.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Although I feel like after this year, it's like small tornadoes and then like several larger ones.
Right. Things that destroy your house pretty fucking quick.
The town has been leveled.
Yes.
Yeah. Town is gone.
We're just going to close off here, but stay put because we got to do the intro and we'll take your picture in the whole bit.
Oh, fun.
Where do people find you online, Ann?
You just Auntie Donahue, Twitter, Instagram. Mm-hmm. Done.
Right. It's Anne. T is not anti-Donahue. Like, we're not
that's
against
right.
the Donahues. Like,
No, you better not be. Yes. Yeah. I'll fight you all.
Right. Unless you're the adversary of the Dairy Girls. And then there's, feed you some fists.
But our family is from Northern Ireland. So I'm like, yes.
There you go. Awesome. Darcy, where do people find you?
Defiander on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Monty and Darcy on Instagram.
Yes. You will finally be able to see the cat. Listener, yeah. You'll finally be able to see the cat go to Instagram.
I'm getting another LaCroix.
Of course, Jesus, you.
That's
have
going in the photo.
Yeah,
I do.
Yeah, I have a LaCroix problem as well, except it's booze.
I had that, but I'm an alcoholic, so that's why I don't drink it anymore.
That's why you're doing it, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening and viewing on the Facebook page. If you want to watch these episodes live to tape, you can do so at facebook.com/CATP podcast or Comedy Above the Pub. It's one of the two. Just find it there. You can follow this very podcast at CATP podcast. That's right, folks. Cat P. You can follow me personally at Hey, It's TVA. I have some online shows coming up in the near future. You can go to heyistva.com/calendar. If you go to iTunes, give us a 5-star rating. You know the drill. 5 stars. Talk shit about us in the commentary. 5 stars. Talk shit about us in the commentary. There is a ton of fodder to fuel that effort in this episode, all from me. You can pick up my album Butterflies while you're there. Make sure you pick up Anne's book, Nobody Cares. She does, but the book title, right. We'll have links in the show notes, actually, to that, so make sure you can do that. And follow Anne in all of her endeavors. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Anne, the no longer erstwhile Darcy, and myself, when you listen to Cat Pee, you're in for a good time. Jimmy, you are always the podcat.
Lately, I find I rush. Can't piece together the sun in the sky or the spots on my face.